There's a green light. That means it's on. Hey, good morning, early birds. Right on. You know, somebody was telling me that sunrise services should all be held outside, right, where we can see the sunrise. This is the only sunrise you guys are going to see today. Praise the Lord, huh? For modern technology. Oh, mercy. What a blessing to get to come here today and to share with you guys and to remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking this morning about how when I grew up, I went to church, a place that was called a church, since I was 2 years old. And it wasn't until I was 17, May 1st, 1970, that someone told me that Jesus was alive. I believed in the resurrection, but I didn't really get it, that he not only raised from the dead, but he is alive today. And that day I entered into a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And I think it's essential for us to consider the resurrection. And like Brian was saying, this is an essential doctrine of the church. This is something that we need to believe, not only that Jesus died for our sins, which I figured out about 15 years later, but that he rose from the dead and he's alive today. The Bible tells us he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And man, how amazing is that? As we consider the resurrection of Jesus, we know that Jesus had to come and he had to die for our sins. He had to pay that penalty that we owed. But if he had just died for our sins, or said he did, and then they buried him, what a waste. But the reality is that the grave couldn't hold him. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that apart from the reality of Jesus' resurrection, that our faith would be futile and that we would still be dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, it's amazing because I know that I heard the story of the resurrection for at least 15 years as a child. But until I was born again of the Spirit of God, I didn't really comprehend what that meant. This is an event that is essential for our faith. That if Jesus had stayed in the ground, it would have been because he had sinned. Because we know the wages of sin is death, right? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because he came out of that grave, it's essential for us. It proves to us that our faith is not futile, that our faith is in a God who had the power to lay his life down and the power to take it up again. And I love it in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within each of us and can give life to our mortal bodies. Is that an amazing and wonderful promise? Well, anyhow, I'm getting off on my tangent here. This morning, first thing, we're going to look at one of the gospel accounts, and it's really cool because last night I was listening to Pastor Sam, and I'm not walking on him. He's not going to talk about the Gospel of Luke. We're going to Luke chapter 24, since I know you have your Bibles with you. And we're going to look at Luke's account. Now, if you remember, Luke was a medical doctor, and he, in the beginning of his gospel, he tells us that he searched out this information. He interviewed witnesses. Now, it's pretty apparent when we look at Luke 24 that he spoke with Cleopas and Simon, the guys that were walking to Emmaus, because he's the only one that records in this detail what happened. And I love this because not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but he rose to the dead, from the dead, to those who were his closest disciples that didn't believe it. Even though he told them over and over and over again, the Son of Man has to go to Jerusalem, be crucified and die, and then 3 days later rise from the dead. And we're going to see that. So I just wanted to look at Luke as I was praying about this. I'm going, well, I know Sam's going to teach on the resurrection, and he is. So if you guys weren't here last night, you need to come back at either 8, 9:45, or 11:30 because Pastor Sam is going to share some amazing things with you, things that are going to really encourage your heart. But this morning, I just want to look at this simple passage as we look at the reality of the resurrection and then the way that Jesus is so faithful to us to come to those who don't believe yet and prove himself. So we have to start back in chapter 23 just so that we know that we have the context. And in chapter 23, we find that Jesus was crucified, that he died on the cross. Doesn't go into a lot of detail. Sam's going to talk about that, the spear in his side, the reality of his death and his burial. In chapter 50, or verse 50 of chapter 23, it says, "Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man, and he had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who came with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment." Now comes the good part. "Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. They did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Pause here for a moment. We know that Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, they believed. They came, they told Peter, and it was actually in the Gospel of John tells us that Peter and John ran to the tomb, and John just happened to outrun Peter. And they went in and checked it out. That's awesome. It's an awesome passage. Encourage you guys to read that. But after that, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. She was weeping. She couldn't figure it out. And she saw this guy and she thought he was the gardener. She said, "Do you take my Lord away? I'll go get him." And Jesus called her name. And she recognized him. And it was so cool because at that time, if you guys know, the testimony of a woman was not acceptable in court. Men didn't believe women. I love that fact that Jesus chose a woman to reveal himself to first. And I love it because these women believed. They believed it. And the men, they didn't. Pretty amazing. So Peter runs with John. They go, they check it out. You know, John gets to the tomb first. He doesn't go in. Doesn't want to be defiled by a dead body, so he can't, you know, celebrate the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But Peter, he runs right in, you know, and he checks it out. He examines the grave clothes that are left there. John comes in. They're like, "Wow, he is. He's risen." And they were convinced. But they still, well, I don't know if they were convinced, but they saw it. And they came back. It says here that they were marveling about what had happened. They're going, "Man, this is amazing. I don't know how this could happen." And then we get this little picture that Luke discovers of these guys that go to Emmaus. And one of the other Gospels, I think it's Mark, talks about how two of them were headed into the country, you know, and that Jesus appeared to them. Well, here's the account. This is the eyewitness account. It says, "Now behold," verse 13, "two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Check this out. "But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened here in these days?' And he said to them," what things? Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? He's always asking questions. "So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is arisen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." And I love this. Jesus comes. He finds these two headed 7 miles away to Emmaus. And they're talking and they're like, going, "Man, I don't get it." You know, they're sad, it says. And Jesus approaches them and he's a stranger to them. They don't recognize him. We're told that their eyes were restrained so that they couldn't know him at that time. And he does the thing he does so well. He asks them the question, "What things are you, why are you bummed out?" And they're like, "Oh man, you know, don't you know what happened?" And he says, "You know, well, tell me about it." And so they tell him, and then he begins to open their understanding. He expounds to them all the scriptures that told about what was going to happen, that told the necessity of his death and his resurrection. And it's a wonderful thing. If you haven't ever read it, John R. Cross has got a book he wrote called Stranger on the Road to Emmaus. Very simple book, but it's really does a great job. He looked at the scriptures after he read this passage and thought, "Well, I wonder what those scriptures were that he expounded to them." And so John Cross has written this book and examined the Old Testament and kind of goes through it from creation to the resurrection and looks at those passages that speak to the reality that God the Son had to come to this earth and to live a perfect life and then to lay his life down and die in our place. And he looks at the Old Testament sacrificial system and shows the typology, shows how they pointed to that reality that it had to be a perfect man that could die to pay for the sins of the world. And also the reality that he couldn't stay dead, that the grave couldn't hold him, that he had to rise from the dead. And John Cross does just a great job at the very end of explaining the reality of the resurrection. And I encourage you, if you have friends that don't know Christ, or if maybe you're someone who hasn't been born again, you haven't come to that place of surrendering your life to God, realizing that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, I'd encourage you to read that book, or I'd encourage you to give that book to a friend who hasn't received Christ yet, because it does give a wonderful explanation, real simple, and it's designed for people maybe that haven't ever been to church. So the reality is Jesus begins to open the scriptures to them, and later on, after they recognize him, he opens their eyes, they recognize him, they go, man, it's Jesus. I don't know if when he broke the bread with them, he did it, you know, he said the same thing over and over, or what he did, but some, or they saw the scars, I don't know. But somehow when he broke the bread, they recognized him, and then he disappeared. And they're like, wow, didn't our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures to us? I mean, I look at the fact that when he was going to keep going on, and they said, no, no, stay with us, the day is far spent, I think they were going, we want more of this stuff. You know, that he was drawing them. He was opening their understanding to the reality, and they didn't want to stop. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that's how I am. I'm going to be here all three services after this because I can't get enough of this. And so that's what happens to us when we come to Christ. Man, we can't get enough of hearing about Jesus and hearing about how God has spoken through the Old Testament and the New Testament to explain the reality of the risen Christ to us. So they run back. They go back to Jerusalem. They hook up with the rest of the disciples, and they're going, check this out. The Lord's risen indeed, man. We just had dinner with him. It's so cool. And he opened the scriptures to us, and wow. And they tell him all that great stuff and how they knew him when he broke the bread. And that's why I think the second guy's name was Simon, because he said the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And some people think that might be Simon Peter. I don't see any other information in the other Gospels that said that Peter actually saw Jesus. So I'm thinking Cleophas and Simon are those two disciples. But let's continue on, because we should. Verse 36, it says, now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, Shalom, you know, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And here they'd heard the women's testimony. Here we have the two guys from Emmaus, their testimony. And they're thinking, oh, man, it's got to be a ghost. Well, realize the doors were locked, right? So they figured, how's he going to get in? But they suppose they'd seen a spirit. He says to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Now, Gail Irwin says that he thinks Jesus was a little round guy like him and liked to eat a lot, you know. Sometimes this is called calorie chapel, right? We like to eat a lot too. It's a good thing, but apparently Jesus said, you guys still don't believe? You got any food? So they must have got, oh, he likes to eat, you know? So somehow he convinces them. They're amazed. They're blown away. And if you remember, the other gospel accounts say that John says that Thomas wasn't with them, that the 11 were there, but not all of them. 10 of them were there. And when Thomas heard, man, we just had dinner with Jesus, he's like, I'm not going to believe it until I can put my finger in the prints of the nails in his hand and my hand in his side. And Jesus is so gracious, because a week later he shows up and he goes, and Thomas is there. And he's like, Thomas, check me out. Sam will talk more about him later this morning. But Thomas actually goes, man, my Lord, my God. He's like, was amazed. What I love about this is that Jesus is willing to deal with us even if we have questions. He is willing to pursue us and to chase us down until we believe. And then when we believe, when we make that decision to receive Christ, man, it all makes so much sense. I don't know about you guys. I talk to people all the time that, man, oh, I've studied about this. I've read all these books, The Case for Christ and the, you know, Evidence That Demands a Verdict and all these things. And I just still am not convinced. And I'm like, that's because you're dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. You need to be born again. And that was the thing that hit me May 1st, 1970. Guys that led me to Christ that day said, you're going to be able to read your Bible and understand it. And there's a whole new level that comes because this is a spiritual book. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that it's a spiritual book and it's spiritually discerned. And I encourage you, if you're one of those people who has not yet believed, if you haven't entered into that intimate personal relationship with Christ yet, you need to do that. You need to realize that you're a sinner and understand that he paid your debt and believe that he rose from the dead and just call on him and say, reveal yourself to me. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And when you do that, something amazing is going to happen in your life. All those doubts you had before, when you open this book, you're going to go, oh, wow, that's what that meant. I get it. And I'll tell you what, these guys were hiding. They were hiding out after the crucifixion. And after this, he tells them, well, here, I'm going to read it here. Crazy things happen. These guys do some insane things. If it weren't for the calling of God on their life, it would be crazy, right? But instead, he says, hey, this is what we're going to do. So let's look at verse 44. So I don't get too far ahead of myself. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, praise God, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, he says, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power on high. We're going to stop there today. But they waited in Jerusalem, and 50 days later at the Feast of Pentecost, or 50 days after the Passover, they were together in an upper room, and they were praying. They were of one accord. They were in a Honda. They were praying, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And not only was he in them, but now he had come upon them and empowered them. Peter preaches a simple sermon, and I mean, he just says, hey, you guys killed the Lord. And 3,000 of them go, what do we have to do to be saved? And he goes, repent and be baptized and call on the Lord. And then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread and that other one thing, which I can't remember off the top of my head. Oh, prayer, and in prayer. And they hung out and they grew in their faith and their understanding of the Lord. They studied the scriptures. And all of a sudden, they could understand it. And they were empowered. And, you know, Sam's going to talk about this. All of those apostles, except for John, the rest of them died martyrs' death. They went to the grave. They went to their death, execution, horrible, different, crazy things that people did to them to try and make them denounce and recant the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus convinced them. And then he empowered them. And he wants to do that for you and for me, to fill us with his Spirit that we might go forth and share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ with this lost and dying world. And I love this. And it's all because he's not in the grave. It's all because he's alive today. And he wants to be with us. He is risen from the dead. Jesus is alive. The grave couldn't hold him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, the reason that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In Romans 4:25, it tells us that Jesus was delivered up for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. If he had not raised from the dead, we'd have no evidence that our sins have been paid for. On the cross, he cries out, "It's finished. It's paid in full. The debt has been paid. The wrath of God poured out upon him," just as Isaiah said in chapter 53, that God, he took our sins upon himself. It was not for his own sins that he died. It was for yours and for mine. And that God was satisfied. And it was, he says, "It's finished." And then he gave up the ghost. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he died. And then he rose from the grave. He's alive today, you guys. It's so important that we understand that. The resurrection is the evidence that his sacrifice was accepted for us. And in that we can stand. Behold, our Redeemer lives. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We are amazed at your love for us. Lord, that you would send your Son to live in this sin-sick world, to submit himself completely to you, and to never do anything that was in rebellion to you, Lord, but always did those things that pleased you. All the way to the cross. In the garden, he said, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass." Nevertheless, he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And then he got up and he went to the cross. And he died and he was buried. And then he rose from the grave. And Father, we are so grateful that he sits at your right hand, even right now, and makes intercession for us, his saints, his called out ones, his separated ones. Jesus, we are grateful that you came to find us. Not only did you pay the price, but you wouldn't leave it alone. When we doubted, before we believed, you revealed yourself to us. You convinced us that you loved us, that you're alive today, that you want a relationship with us. And we are so grateful for that. So, Lord, we come before you today. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that you're alive. Lord, I pray that if there are any here with us this morning or listening on the radio or the internet that have yet to have trusted in what you did on their behalf, Lord, that they might pass this morning from death to life, that they would come to that place of realizing the depth of their sin, the need that they have, Lord, to be reconciled to you and the way that you provided for them, that you sent your Son, that Jesus, you came, that you would die in our place, and that the grave couldn't hold you, and that their sins can be forgiven today. And if you're here today and you have not trusted in Jesus before this point, if you didn't understand how much God loves you, I want to give you an opportunity. I'd hate for you to leave this room this morning, early in the morning, without having entered into a real relationship with Christ. If there's anybody here that wants to pray and confess their sins, you don't have to name them out by name, but say, "God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. And I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. I want to have a relationship with you." If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand up and I will look out there and see you and I'll acknowledge your desire to receive Christ. I'll pray with you. And you can enter into a relationship with God today, pure, holy, forgiven. Anybody today that wants to receive Christ. And if this is the first time you heard this and you think, "Man, I need to think about this," that's cool. You can do that. Come back, though. Come back and listen to Pastor Sam, one of the next three services, and he'll give you this same opportunity. But be like I was. Man, it took me all day, but by the end of the day, I was ready to enter into a real relationship with God through Jesus, and I am so grateful I did. Anybody this morning that want to pray right now, you don't have to wait. You can receive Christ. Doesn't matter if you've been to church every Sunday of your life. If you have not submitted yourself to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, man, you need to do that today. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you're not dead. We thank you that you're alive. Thank you for our relationship with you. Lord, I ask your blessing upon each one here. And Lord, those who are going to come today, Lord, we pray that you would draw people here that don't know you yet, and that you'd reveal yourself to them through Pastor Sam as he teaches your word, as he talks about you, the reality of your resurrection. Lord, change lives and use us. Fill us with your spirit. Lord, those of us who know you, may we go out and preach your gospel to this world. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brian, you want to lead us in another song?